Hi, my name is George Batty, and this study is entitled Modest Apparel. What does the Bible say about modest apparel? Let me begin by asking eight questions for you to think about. Number one, what is an ellipsis? Number two, are nakedness and modesty the same issue? Number three, what constitutes nakedness? Number four, why do some older men always wear long-sleeved shirts? Number five, why does the Bible emphasize the clothing of women? Number six, why did previous generations oppose mixed swimming of boys and girls? Number seven, are politicians liars? Number eight, who was Dr. Mary Walker, and what did the U.S. Congress do for her? All right, so think about that and look for the answers as we study this subject. Tonight, I'm not purposefully trying to embarrass anybody by anything that I say, and I'm not trying to anger anyone by anything I say. If I anger you or embarrass you, I'm sorry. I was not trying to purposefully do that. So having said that, let's get into our study. And I want to begin by simply asking this question. Is this topic, modest apparel, is it even relevant? And the reason I begin with this question is because of the following passage. In 1 Samuel 16, verse 7, "But the Lord said to Samuel, 'Do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees. For man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart.'" Supposedly, this passage proves how we dress is irrelevant, that God doesn't look on the outward appearance of how we dress. So, question, does this passage prove that it doesn't matter how we dress? The answer is no. No, that's not what this passage is saying. This passage is using a figure of speech called ellipsis. An ellipsis is the omission of a word that is obviously omitted to the audience. It's obvious. So here's an example of an ellipsis. In John chapter 6, verse 27, Jesus said, "Do not labor for the food which perishes." Do not labor for food which perishes. This passage contains an ellipsis. A word is obviously omitted. And in this case, it's the word only. And so in John 6:27, the Bible says, "Do not labor only for the food which perishes." If we do not allow for an ellipsis to be in this passage, we end up with the Bible contradicting itself, because the Bible certainly does teach in other places that people must work for their food. As a matter of fact, in one place, the Bible says that if a man will not work, neither should he eat. Likewise, 1 Samuel 16, verse 7 contains an ellipsis. The obvious words that are omitted are the words "only" and "also." So the passage is saying, "The Lord does not see as man sees, for man looks only at the outward appearance, but the Lord also looks at the heart." If we do not allow for an ellipsis here, we have a contradiction in the Bible, for the Bible certainly teaches God looks at the outward appearance of men. Because if he never looked at the outward appearance, then why did he give instructions forbidding nakedness? Why did he give instructions about modest apparel, which we're going to notice tonight? So God does look at the outward appearance of man. However, he can do something that a man cannot do. God can also look at the inward motivations found inside the heart. Now, this subject tonight is relevant, and our subject involves two distinct items, nakedness and modesty. Nakedness refers to the body being uncovered and the need to cover the nakedness up. Modesty refers to how the body is covered. Often these two topics get mixed together, but they're clearly two separate issues, and I hope that becomes clearer as we go along. So let's start with nakedness. The first passage I call your attention to is in the beginning of the Bible, Genesis chapter 2, verse 25. The Bible says, "They were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed." Between a husband and wife, nakedness is not shameful. In a state of innocence, nakedness is not shameful. When children are little innocent children, they're not ashamed to be naked. But when sin enters, Adam and Eve were ashamed of their nakedness. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 7, "Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord called to Adam and said to him, 'Where are you?' So he said, 'I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself.'" An old black preacher by the name of Marshall Keeble said this: "In the beginning, when they ate dim apples, they knew that they were naked and hid themselves and prayed." And then he said, "Lord, send us some more of them apples." Well, today we need more of those things that will make us ashamed of our nakedness. Adam and Eve made coverings for themselves. The word coverings means loin covering or loin cloth. This loin cloth was not good enough, though, in God's sight to cover their nakedness, because in chapter 3, verse 21, the Bible says, "For Adam and his wife, the Lord God made tunics of skin and clothed them." The word tunics means a long shirt-like garment. So these tunics of skin were long shirt-like garments that covered from the neck to below the knees. In a little while, I'll explain why I'm saying they reach below the knees. Notice Adam had to have one as well as Eve. The idea that man is privileged to go around shirtless is not biblical. Also notice their tunics were made of skin, something thick, not something see-through. So we're going to keep a running record now of all of the lessons we're going to learn tonight. And lesson number one is you must be covered from the neck to below the knees to keep from being naked. That's the rule number one. All right? This rules out a lot of things. It rules out swimming suits, shorts, halter tops, low-cut necklines, short skirts that come above the knees. All of these are excluded. Now, lesson number two. Men must wear shirts in public. God did not grant men privileges on this in this area. All right? Next passage, Isaiah chapter 20, verse 4. "So shall the king of Assyria lead away the Egyptians as prisoners and the Ethiopians as captives, young and old, naked and barefoot, with their buttocks uncovered to the shame of Egypt." When the buttocks is uncovered or accentuated, then someone's nakedness is being revealed. An Olympian athlete who exposes his or her buttocks is naked before the entire world. It's a moment to be ashamed of, not a time for smiling and photo ops. And so lesson number three is you cannot expose or accentuate your buttocks in public. And what that means in translation is this: no low-rider jeans or pants. You got to wear a belt. You need to tuck your shirt in. And you need to have your wife check you for plumber's pants when you squat down in the working position, because you cannot expose your buttocks. That's exposing your nakedness. Next passage, Exodus chapter 28, verse 42. "And you shall make for them linen trousers to cover their nakedness. They shall reach from the waist to the thighs." The word thighs is from a Hebrew word that's from an unused root, meaning to be soft. The thigh, from its fleshly softness. So this is the soft part of your leg, your thigh. When the thighs are exposed, one's nakedness has been exposed according to the Bible. Exposure of the thigh is uncovering your nakedness. And that's why I say the tunic of Adam and Eve had to come below their knees. Their tunic was to cover their nakedness. So now, lesson number four. Christians must have on clothing long enough so that when they sit down and the garment rises, the thighs are not exposed. Lesson number five, any action that causes one's upper legs or their thighs to be exposed is uncovering one's nakedness. So if you're twirling around in dance to the point that your skirt rises and exposes your thigh, you're exposing your nakedness. Or if someone raises their garment to cross through water and they raise their garment to the point that their thighs are exposed, they are exposing their nakedness. Isaiah 47, verses 2 and 3. Next passage, Proverbs 5, verses 18 and 19. Let your fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of your youth. As a loving deer and a graceful doe, let her breast satisfy you at all times and always be enraptured with her love. Listen, the only breasts a man should be looking at is his own wife's breasts. And here's a news flash. Men are interested in looking at women's breasts. So when a woman exposes a portion of her breasts or her thighs, what does she think men are going to look at when they see this? In Matthew chapter 5, verse 27, Jesus said, "You have heard that it was said to those of old, 'You shall not commit adultery.' But I say to you, that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart." Now, when men look at women and lust after them and fantasize having sex with them, they are going to be eternally lost in hell if they do not get forgiveness. But women who expose themselves so that men will look at them are also going to be lost eternally unless they get forgiveness. So lesson number six, women need to cover up their breast, including their cleavage. Next passage, Job 22, verse 6. For you have taken pledges from your brother for no reason and stripped the naked of their clothing. Job is being accused here of stripping the naked of their clothes. How do you strip a naked person of their clothing? Weren't they naked? How does a naked person have clothes? Well, naked in this passage is someone who is thinly clad. And we're learning that to be naked, you don't have to be stark naked. So lesson number seven, it is possible to have some cloth on your body and still be considered naked by God's standards. So some clothes are meant to reveal rather than to conceal. If clothing is so thin or so little that it reveals your body underneath, you are naked by biblical standards. The Olympian athletes who are standing there with so little cloth on their body, they are naked in the sight of God. Next passage, Revelation 3, verse 18. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire that you may be rich, and white garments that you may be clothed, and that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve that you may see. We learn two things in this passage. First, nakedness is a shame, and we should be embarrassed when our nakedness is exposed. And number two, the cure for nakedness is clothing. Clothing that hides the body. So in summary on nakedness, nakedness became shameful when sin entered into the world. When God clothed Adam and Eve, this was part of the process of removing the shame of the sin that they had committed. Clothing is a constant reminder that we are sinners. Removing clothing in public reveals a callous attitude towards sin and its shame. Proper clothing of our nakedness is the first step in realizing the shame of sin. Now, while nakedness has to do with putting clothing on, modesty has to do with the kind of clothes that we put on. There are two kinds of clothes in the Bible. sexually provocative clothes and modest clothes. Let's talk about sexually provocative clothes. There's an example of this in the Bible. In Genesis chapter 38, verses 13 through 16, it was told Tamar, saying, "Look, your father-in-law is going up to Timnah to shear his sheep." So she took off her widow's garments. See, she's taken off her modest garments. She covered herself with a veil. This way her father-in-law can't see her face and realize who she is. And she wrapped herself. She wrapped herself up so she looked like a prostitute. And she sat in an open place which is on the way to Timnah, for she saw that Shelah was grown and she was not given to him as a wife. When Judah saw her, he thought she was a harlot because she had covered her face. Then he turned to her by the way and said, "Please, let me come in to you." Tamar's clothing alone caused her to look like a prostitute. In Proverbs chapter 7 and verse 10, the Bible says, "There a woman met him with the attire of a harlot and a crafty heart." And so women can dress themselves in a way that just by their dress alone, they look like a prostitute. So that brings up lesson number 8. People have a right to judge you by how you are dressed. Now, this is a little side note, but I want to put it in here. This is the problem with tattoos and body piercing. And I'm not trying to embarrass anyone. What you've done in the past cannot be changed. But tattoos and body piercings are typical of poverty and low education. Donald Burleson, who is the owner and president of Burleson Consultants, he writes this: "Prejudice still exists within corporate America about tattoos in their dress codes, and there is a clear correlation between income, education, and the population who have tattoos. It's no surprise that tattoos are more popular among the poor and undereducated." Now, sometimes you'll see some old men who wear long sleeves all the time. Even when it's 110 degrees in the shade, they're wearing long sleeves. That's probably a veteran who got drunk one night and went and got a tattoo when he was in the service, and now he's ashamed of it, and he covers it up with his long sleeves. So let this be a warning to all of our young people. Tattoos are permanent, and people do have a right to judge you by how you look. Now, in the Bible, when we talk about modest clothes, the Bible's teachings on modesty falls with a heavy emphasis on women's clothing. Why? Well, that's because men are stimulated by sight more than women. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 2, verse 9, "In like manner also that the women adorn themselves in modest apparel with propriety and moderation, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly clothing, but which is proper for women professing godliness with good works." Here's the basic outline of what this passage is saying. First, there is the command: women, adorn yourselves in modest apparel. Second, there are instructions on how to obey this command: with propriety, with moderation, and which is proper for women professing godliness with good works. The words "not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly clothing" is explaining what is meant by moderation. So there are four words that we're going to define in this passage: the word modest, the word propriety, the word moderation, and the word apparel, and we will define them in that order. First, modest. Modest is coming from a Greek word meaning pertaining to being modest in the sense of moderate and well-ordered. Modest, well-ordered, moderate, becoming. So modest means modest, means not drawing undue attention to yourself. When I think of modesty, I think of Walter Payton, the greatest running back in the NFL. He would punish the defense, and at the end of the game, It was like he won the game single-handedly. And when the reporters were surrounding him with the microphone, they would say, "Oh, Walter, you had a great game today." And he would say, "I have to give credit to the offensive line. They really did a good job blocking for me." See, he was not wanting the attention all to himself. He was being modest when he talked like that. Modesty means not drawing undue attention to yourself. Modest clothing would be clothing that doesn't draw attention to the woman. Clothing that does not focus the eyes of everyone upon her. One year at the New Year's meeting, I went on New Year's Eve. There was about 1,000 people there in the auditorium. And a girl walked through the doors in what appeared to be a wedding dress. She was clothed from her neck down to her feet, but she was also a spectacle because all the eyes of the entire audience turned and focused on her because of the clothing that she was wearing. That is not modest. So lesson number 9, women cannot be in fashion shows where they are on stage and all eyes are focused on them. Right, the next word I want you to look at is the word propriety. This means bashfulness, that is, towards men, modesty, reverence, shamefacedness. The King James translates this shamefacedness. Trench says that the word should be shamefastness. Shamefastness means a woman is fast or unmovable in her resolve to blush and be embarrassed about men. So, as noted in Strong's definition, this is bashfulness towards men. This is speaking about clothing, which says, "Men are not welcome to feast their eyes upon my body and imagine having sex with me." And so, this brings up lesson number 10. Sexy clothes are forbidden. Sexy clothes are forbidden. Women, save your sexy clothes for your husbands at home in public. You are to be easily embarrassed toward men. In translation, the following should not be worn by a Christian woman: backless dresses, strapless dresses, low necklines. And what I'm describing here is most modern wedding dresses. They should not be worn by Christian women because they violate all of these rules of shamefacedness. Shirts that reveal the midriff, shorts, especially short shorts, mini skirts, all of these things are wrong because they're turn-ons to men sexually. Mary Quant, the fashion designer who designed the miniskirt, said this: "Mini clothes are symbolic of those girls who didn't want to wait until dark to seduce a man." And she should know because she's the one that designed the mini skirt, and she knew why she was designing it. I call your attention now to the word moderation. It means sobriety. That's how it's translated in the King James Version. It means soundness of mind, good sense, sanity, self-control, sobriety. The context helps us even more. It explains what the Lord wanted us to understand by this word. In 1 Timothy 2:9, with moderation, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly clothing. Now, is this passage teaching it's always wrong for a woman to braid her hair? Can she wear no jewelry ever? Can she not have nice clothes at all? Well, the context is helping us to see that the Lord is talking about things that are not done in moderation. And by the way, this is what makes modesty such a difficult subject, is because it requires judgment. And sometimes you don't like my judgment, and I don't like your judgment. Unfortunately, not everything is black and white. But we have to use judgment and do things in moderation. Now, look at braided hair. This is not just braiding a simple braid in the hair, but it's braiding hair that is not with moderation. It's doing it so that every eye focuses on the woman when they see her. A simple braid on a young lady is not going to make everybody turn their heads. But when a woman has her hair braided like Bo Derek or others with beads in their braids, oh, that's eye-catching, and every eye turns to look at that. Look at gold or pearls. This is talking about jewelry which draws undue attention, jewelry that is not in moderation. When I think of someone wearing gold not in moderation, I think of Mr. T and all of those gold necklaces that he would wear around his neck. And you know what? He would even agree with me tonight, because he sold all of that gold and admitted that it was not in moderation. A woman with a simple wedding band is not drawing undue attention. A woman with nice clothes does not necessarily draw undue attention to herself. So what are some possible examples of this? Well, someone who has a ring on every finger, or overly large or overly expensive rings, overly large earrings, three or more sets of earrings and studs all around the ear, a nose ring with a chain going to the ear, excessive numbers of bracelets, tattoos, body piercings, nose studs, eyebrow studs, lip studs, tongue studs, all of these things. They're not in moderation. And you may think my examples are silly, but now this passage means something. Some have gone to the extreme of saying that no jewelry at all can be worn, and I think that's wrong. Godly women in the Old Testament wore gold. For example, Rebekah, Genesis chapter 24. But they did not wear it in such a way as to draw undue attention to themselves. They wore it with moderation. We need to be careful lest we make the passage mean nothing at all and we just ignore it. We cannot treat it like that. So lesson number 11, the woman must not wear expensive clothing or accessories which draw undue attention to herself. The sober-minded woman, with moderation, serious, she takes into consideration where she's going. If she's going to a funeral, she dresses for a funeral, not as if she's going hiking or on a barbecue venture. If she's going to a wedding, she dresses appropriately for a wedding. If she's going to church, she dresses appropriately for church. Rebellious Americans need to learn it does matter what you wear to court, and a good lawyer will tell his client that. It does matter what you wear to job interviews, and it does matter what you wear to church. The next word is the word apparel. It's being translated from this Greek word katastole. Thayer says a garment let down, dress, attire. Bauer, Art, and Gingrich says it means deportment, as it expresses itself in clothing. Liddell and Scott says it means equipment, dress. This word means simply clothing in general, as our English Bibles have. The King James Version uses the word apparel, and 57 Greek scholars said that's what this word means. The American Standard Version was translated by 101 Greek scholars, and they said this word means apparel. So there doesn't appear to be anything, any specific garment in view in this word. However, there is a quality about the garment. Robinson has this in his lexicon: a letting down, that is the letting fall of a garment, the adjustment of it on and around one's person. So the garment is to fall from the body, which refers to the adjustment of it on and around one's person. So now we learned another lesson, number 12. The woman's clothes cannot cling to her body. The clothing must be loose and fall from her body. Well, that eliminates a lot of things. That eliminates spandex shirts and spandex pants. It eliminates maternity stretchy shirts so that everyone can see that you are 9 months pregnant. It eliminates yoga pants. It eliminates skinny jeans. It eliminates clothes that mold to the body. This is why the older generation did not want boys and girls swimming together, because wet clothes cling to the body, and the modest apparel is to fall freely from the body. Now, even though the word katastole, apparel, is not referring to any one specific garment, the context of this word does tell us more. It tells us that women must wear feminine clothes. Feminine clothes. Now, I'm going to read Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 5 to you. And as I read this, I am aware that this is Old Testament teaching, but I am going to try. You may not agree that I can do this, but I am going to try to show first what the passage was teaching, and then I'm going to try to show that this teaching is repeated in the New Testament scriptures for Christians today. Deuteronomy 22, verse 5, "A woman shall not wear anything that pertains to a man, nor shall a man put on a woman's garment, for all who do so are an abomination to the Lord your God." Now, the very first word in this passage, if we could read the Hebrew Bible in Hebrew, the very first word of this verse is the word "not." And when the first word that a reader sees in a verse is the word "not," well, that's a signal that this is a very strong prohibition about to be given. This passage forbids cross-dressing or transvestism. Now, the Bible says when a person does this, it is an abomination to the Lord. Some things are abomination to certain cultures or certain groups of people. For example, in Genesis 43, there is an abomination to the Egyptians. Well, doesn't mean that it's an abomination to God or that God thinks it's a sin, but it was an abomination to the Egyptians. In 1 Samuel 13, verse 4, there is an abomination to the Philistines. Now, that, again, that doesn't mean that God thought it was an abomination, but the Philistines did. But Deuteronomy 22 and verse 5 isn't talking about an abomination to Egyptians or Philistines. It's talking about an abomination to the Lord your God. And this is frightful to me. This passage forbids women to wear anything that pertains to a man. So in your Bible, you circle that word "anything." She cannot wear anything that pertains to a man. And what that means is anything that exclusively pertains to a man. This is not discussing articles of clothing that men and women might share in common. Things that men and women share in common would be things like socks or gloves or maybe a scarf around the neck when it's a cold winter night. Any garment, however, that is made exclusively for a male is forbidden to the woman. But Deuteronomy 22, verse 5, is Old Testament law. Is there New Testament teaching about this? Yes, I believe that there is. The first passage, I'm going to read two, and the first passage I call your attention to is 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9. "Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God." See that word "homosexuals" in verse 9? That's translated "effeminate" in the King James Version. It's defined as pertaining to being soft to the touch, soft, delicate, luxurious. This refers to the catamite. A catamite is a young boy who was a slave. He was owned by a master, and he was made to dress up in soft, delicate, luxurious clothing. In other words, he dressed up like a woman or a girl for the pleasure of his perverted master. This passage is teaching it is a sin for a man to dress in soft, delicate clothing that pertains to a woman. So, at least the portion of Deuteronomy 22, verse 5 that pertains to the man is being repeated here. But what about women? Are women forbidden to put on men's apparel? Yes, they are. Look at the very text we started with. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, the Bible says, "In like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel proper for women." You see that? Women are to wear clothing proper for women. Don't let the intervening words keep you from seeing that this passage is teaching there must be gender distinction in the clothes. There is no doubt Deuteronomy 22 verse 5 is repeated in the New Testament. Lesson number 13. The woman's clothes must be feminine clothes. Clothes made for men are off limits. All right, what about pants now? Are they feminine clothing? Let me first preface what I am about to answer. If you ask me this question, are politicians liars? Are politicians liars? I'd say yes. Yes, they are. Now, you might be able, after a long search, to find one rare exception of a truthful politician and then say, aha, you can't believe anything George says because he said politicians are liars and I found one who isn't. But listen, politicians by and large are liars. Now, when you ask me, what about pants? Are they feminine clothing? My short answer is no. Pants are not feminine clothing. Now, admittedly, on rare occasions, there are some pants which men should not be wearing, just like occasionally there's a politician out there somewhere that's honest. But if a brother came to church with a pair of pants made of satin, pink, pants with floral design, well, now listen, I would be concerned. But are these the kind of pants that most ladies and girls are wearing these days? I substitute at Seminole High School for 2 days a week, and my wife is a teacher's aide at New Lima Elementary School. We see hundreds of young people every week and teachers, and we're not seeing girls in feminine satin pants with feminine colors and feminine designs. You know what we're seeing? We're seeing mostly jeans, skinny jeans, low-rider jeans, unisex jeans, cowboy-cut jeans, yoga pants, spandex pants. That's what we're seeing. The feminist movement gave birth to a movement called the unisex movement, where all gender distinctions are trying to be erased. The unisex movement has fixated upon men's pants as a way to bring out the desired goal of no gender distinction. Now, Dan Valentine wrote about Dr. Mary Walker. She was the first woman in the United States to wear pants, and it required an act of Congress to allow it. Dan Valentine wrote this: "Most American women wear pants these days. Folks think nothing about it. It hasn't always been so in the United States. Back about 100 years or so ago, the public frowned on any woman brave enough to wear trousers. The first American female to make a big to-do about wearing pants was Dr. Mary Walker. In fact, she raised such a fuss about her right to wear trousers that the U.S. Congress passed special legislation giving her legal right to wear pants." Dr. Walker was a very active feminist, as you can imagine, wanting to erase gender distinctions between men and women. The Compton Encyclopedia Yearbook says this: "Paris courtier Jacques Estorel states that identification of the sexes in terms of clothes will become a thing of the past. He designed an identical tunic and pants outfit for father, mother, and child." See, we're erasing distinctions based on sex from our clothing. Jane Dorner wrote in her book Fashion, "The struggle for political and social equality was expressed in fashion by a tendency to borrow male garments for female clothing. Above all, It was his trousers, the symbol of physical freedom that women began to adopt and adapt with increasing confidence until they became respectable and fashionable wear for all occasions. End quote. Now, the history of ladies wearing pants is rooted in the unisex movement and the feminist movement, all designed to give liberty to women who are oppressed by male headship. And the goal is to erase all gender distinction. The strategy is to clothe everyone the same. Pants are the item of choice to accomplish this goal. Now, question, is a woman sinning by wearing pants? Will she go to hell for this alone? If she doesn't do anything else, but this is the only thing she's doing, will she go to hell for it? Well, let's back it up just a little bit. Let me ask this question. Is a woman sinning by wearing a dress? Is she sinning by wearing a dress? And the answer to that is yes, if in wearing that dress she violates the requirements of modesty found in 1 Timothy chapter 2. All right? Now, question number two. Is a woman sinning by wearing pants? The answer is yes, if she violates the requirements of modesty and gender distinction. Now, admittedly, I am biased. I am in favor of women wearing only dresses and skirts in public. But now I know this much. When a male transvestite wants to clearly look like a woman, I know how he dresses and I know what he puts on. He puts on a dress or a skirt. And when a female transvestite wants to look like a man, she puts on pants. Now, if a sister does decide, she finds that one pair of pants out there somewhere that is feminine, or at least she thinks it's feminine. It's made of satin, it's got floral designs, it hangs loose off of her body, not tight. She needs to ask herself this question. Will this encourage younger girls to wear jeans or pants that have no feminine qualities whatsoever and are not modest in any sense? In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 23, the apostle writes, "All things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but not all things edify. Let no one seek his own, but each one the other's well-being." We can't just be thinking about ourselves according to this passage. In 1 Corinthians 8, verse 13, the Bible says, "Therefore, if food makes my brother stumble, I will never again eat meat, lest I make my brother stumble." So if wearing one garment would encourage other girls to go further and wear unisex or masculine clothing, then this would be wrong. So lesson number 14, if a woman wearing pants erases gender distinction or encourages others to do so, this is wrong. So I'd encourage every woman who wears pants, go home, open up your closet, look at the pants that you have, and then you ask yourself this question. Are these pants designed to enhance gender distinction, to make it more obvious that you're a woman? Or are they designed to cloud and erase gender distinction? And will they encourage others to do worse? I encourage all of my brothers and sisters to celebrate the gender that God made you and dress in an appropriate fashion. Now go back to 1 Timothy 2 and verse 9. "In like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, which is proper for women professing godliness." Professing godliness means advertising godliness. People should be able to simply look at how a woman is dressed and see godliness. And this has happened many times with my wife and my daughters who wear dresses and skirts all the time. They've had people come up there and stop them and say, "Excuse me, what church do you go to? I can tell by how you're dressed that you go to church somewhere." But I have never heard of this happening with a sister who is wearing slacks. Now, it may happen. It may happen. But I have never heard of a woman being stopped just because she had on slacks and asked where she goes to church. Sometimes sisters complain that there's nothing they can do at church. They can't lead songs, they can't lead prayers, they can't give a lesson, they can't wait on the table. And they're discouraged because they're not allowed to do any of these things. But now there's something that sisters in the church can do, which men cannot do. They can advertise godliness by their clothing in a way which a man cannot advertise. When I go into a store wearing nice clothes, nice shoes, nice dress slacks, a white shirt and a tie, there is nobody that comes up to me and asks me what church I go to. They suppose, I guess, that I'm just a businessman that just got off work and came into the store. But sisters in the church who are dressed in dresses and skirts, it's such a rare thing. They are like a walking billboard for the Lord's church. So lesson number 15, your clothes must advertise godliness. Now look at 1 Peter 3, verse 3. Do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel, but rather let it be the hidden person of the heart, with an incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. For in this manner, in former times, the holy women who trusted in God also adorned themselves, being submissive to their own husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are, if you do good and are not afraid with any terror. This passage is saying that our women should look at how godly women of the Old Testament dressed themselves and follow their example. And by the way, godly women of the Old Testament lived under the system of Deuteronomy 22 and verse 5. So this would be another passage teaching the principle which the Old Testament taught. Lesson number 16 then, your clothes must reflect the godly women of the Old Testament. So when you dress yourself, look in a mirror when you've dressed yourself. Look at the neckline. Look at the hemline. Look at the tight fit. Can you see and imagine Old Testament godly women wearing what you're wearing today? And rather than trying to look at a singer or an actress for a role model, consider a godly woman from the Old Testament as your role model in how you dress and adorn yourself. In conclusion, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, women, adorn yourself in modest apparel, which is proper for women professing godliness. I've tried to explain what I believe this means, and I've tried to be fair with the text. You, of course, will have to judge whether or not I accomplish that. I believe too often we allow our children to lead us. Our children insist on wearing things, and we allow them to lead us, the parents, and we begin to lower our standards. I believe that we're getting weary in well-doing, and we decide, you know, it's just not worth the hassle and the fight, and we give in. And now our children are leading and the elders are following. And when I see what's happening in America right now, it looks like we need to rethink modest apparel very, very seriously. Well, thanks for listening and considering this message, and God bless us as we strive to understand His will and put into practice what He has written in His Holy Scriptures.